I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. There are so many strands to the investigation into last Friday's attacks in Paris, and so many angles to the aftermath of those tragic events, and we're spending this hour exploring many of them. And to start this half of the program, we're delving into a key question: where did the attackers get their high-powered weapons? Several Kalashnikov automatic rifles are found in an abandoned car that's been linked to the attackers. British journalist and author Misha Glennie studies global organized crime. He says most of the illegal arms in Europe come from smuggling networks created during the Balkan Wars more than two decades ago.
We have a very interesting indication in the latest case surrounding the Paris attacks, which was the arrest in southern Germany a week before the attacks took place of a man who was driving a car filled with semi-automatic weapons and grenades and bound for Paris, it appears. And he was from Montenegro. Now, German media are not allowed to publish the names, the surnames of people who've been arrested, but they were able to publish his first name, Vlatko, a Montenegrin Christian name. That is, it's an Orthodox Christian name. So he was clearly not from the Muslim minority in Montenegro, who are largely Albanians. He was from what looks like to be a standard Balkan syndicate that was sending weapons up to Paris just at the time when the Islamist terrorists had put in a big order for them.
If a terrorist in Europe wants an automatic assault rifle, how easy is it to get, and where do they usually turn?
The bulk of the weaponry comes from the Balkans, the former Yugoslavia, Bulgaria, Albania. And the reason why it does is, of course, it harks back to the 1990s, where we had the very bloody and chaotic civil war in the former Yugoslavia. And this was in large measure in various areas a Kalashnikov war. At the end of the war, there were some 4 to 5 million semi-automatic weapons sloshing around the Balkans, and the criminal trading syndicates that had emerged during the war, selling drugs and trafficking women for sexual purposes and smuggling untaxed cigarettes into the European Union, were then switched and used in order to send weapons up to Northern Europe, mainly for drug syndicates. But they are available on the open black market for anyone who wants them.
We hear so much about the tough gun control laws across Europe. How did this black market for guns manage to skirt those laws?
Well, you have an open border policy for much of the European Union, and that means it's easy to ship guns from, say, Italy to France or Austria to Germany and into Belgium. So once you get it across the European Union border, then you can basically get it almost anywhere on the continental European Union. You can't get it into the country where I live, the United Kingdom, so easily because they do not have the same open borders. So you have tougher police controls. But there were so many of these weapons that the price came down pretty rapidly. And you can now get an AK-47 for between $300 and $500, roughly speaking, on the black market.
How many automatic weapons, high-powered weapons, are floating around Europe for sale to whomever? Do officials have an estimate?
Hundreds of thousands is their guesstimate, based on the number of fines they have and their monitoring of the prices on the black market, which is probably the most accurate way of doing it.
Misha Glennie, the author of the just-published Nemesis, One Man in the Battle for Rio. Misha, thank you very much.
You're welcome.